TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Myron on Hoops with Myron Metcalf.
Slipping and injured is Zion Williamson. Back the other way, a layup for Cam Johnson. And 36 seconds into the game, Zion Williamson is down.
He blew through his shoe.
Yeah.
Look at his look at his left shoe. He blew completely through the shoe, and then he started holding his right knee.
Myron Metcalf here on another edition of Myron on Hoops with my guy, Manny Hill. Manny's in Minneapolis. I'm post up in Syracuse, New York, after getting a call late yesterday from ESPN to hop on a plane and get my tail to Syracuse for some stuff happening out here. One of the things happening out here, Manny, is that Duke is playing Syracuse, and Zion Williamson, who you just heard, got injured, suffered a mild knee sprain, which if you ever wondered how big he was, like how big Zion was, every major outlet in the country was talking about what he should do. Should he shut it down? Should he play? Zion Williamson, the projected number one pick, just a lot of things happened. Nike stock, according to reports, fell 1%. They apparently lost $1.1 billion after the shoe exploded in the game against North Carolina and Zion got hurt. It's amazing how big he is, Manny. It's amazing. This is like if LeBron James had decided to play a year of college. Like, that's the only thing I can compare to. There's never been a frenzy or a buzz like this for a collegiate player in the social media era. That said, guys like me are supposed to come up with, you know, what Zion should or shouldn't do in his career. People turn to folks like me and you, man, and they say, well, what would you do if you were him? Well, first off, I ain't him. So for me, and I said this on another show yesterday, if I'm Zion, I would ignore people like me at all cost. And I would just surround myself with my inner circle. You know, my parents, my close friends, my mentors, and then make a decision from there. Now, it sounds like the team is fairly optimistic that this is a mild injury, which makes me think that we'll see him again at some point this season.
Yep.
But a couple things to consider that I think has been lost in all of this. Zion Williamson will be one of the richest NBA athletes the moment he enters the draft. He is going to have so much money from his shoe deal that all of this talk about, you know, draft status and all, Zion Williamson, Manny, has 2.8 million Instagram followers. Zion is going to sell more shoes, I think, perhaps than any rookie we have ever seen. Not named LeBron James. This is a guy who, the moment he's done with college basketball, Nike is going to, or whoever, and if you're Nike, you find a way to turn this into an advertisement. The blown up shoe. Now he just invented this indestructible shoe to suit people like Zion. He is going to have so many millions of dollars in the bank, Manny, that I don't think it matters what he does. If he decides to come back, great. Go compete for a championship. If he decides that he doesn't want to come back, great.
Yeah.
Either way, you're going to be filthy rich in a couple of months.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I've on the record said that if I were him, I would not play another minute of college basketball for the rest of this season. But I also am of the belief that he should be able to do what he feels is best for him. If he wants to come back and play, because he's got this close relationship with Trey Jones and Cam Reddish and RJ Barrett and all that. Like, those four guys are close, and they all decided to go to Duke together. Like, that was one thing that they all decided to do together. And if he wants to come back and be a part of that and try and win a national championship and leave, you know, be another name on the long list of great players that have played at Duke, more power to him. If that's what he wants to do, I completely understand that and respect it. But I think if he also feels like there's nothing else that I can do that can improve my draft stock or do anything better for me, like college basketball can't benefit me anymore, and he wants to shut it down, I totally understand that too. And if I were him, that's something that I would definitely consider. But I think whatever he chooses to do should be entirely up to him. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think he gets to do what he wants. You know what I mean? Like, he gets to do what he wants. And he has a group of folks around him. I mean, LeBron James was tweeting about this. LeBron James, who was at his game at Virginia that I was at a couple weeks ago. He's going to talk to some very smart people, I'm sure, Manny, about this. It's a weird situation because we just haven't seen anything like this. I can't think of the last time, Manny, where I thought there was a guy who was the projected number one pick who was getting ready to make far more money from his endorsement deals than anything he could ever get on the court, right? LeBron James is the only one comparable who I'm not sure what he got out of high school with Nike, but it was a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only person where you felt like this dude's going to be rich, whether he's a bust or whether he's the greatest player we've ever seen. And Zion to me is in that boat too, which to your point, if he feels like, hey man, I'm going to wait and just do this at the next level and try to get healthy and be 100%. Great. But if he comes out and tries to win a championship, him winning a championship with this Duke team is only going to elevate his profile.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you how big he was, Manny, how big he is. And I didn't know how big he was until I saw it firsthand. And I think I've talked about the Las Vegas game. He plays in Las Vegas against LaMelo Ball's team. LeVar Ball is there. It's a huge frenzy. LeBron James is going to try to get in. They were like, no, if you do, it's going to mess up the fire codes. After Zion's team won, man, I'm like, oh, all these kids are here for LaMelo Ball. Like, they want to be with LaMelo Ball. And as soon as Zion's team won, all of those kids who had packed that gym, Manny, surrounded Zion. Like, Zion was their hero.
Mm.
Like, Zion was Hercules to them. And at that moment, I was like, oh, my goodness. This guy is bigger than people realize. Zion Williamson is going to be financially secure. Now, there might be an insurance policy, which I believe there's an insurance policy that protects him as only if he falls below 16th in the draft. So that means it's not going to kick in for him. There may be other insurance policies involved. Clearly, this is a guy who, if he gets hurt, you'd have to question, okay, is he still number one? But Manny, I think even if he had suffered a more severe knee injury, are you still taking him number one as young as he is? I think I would.
Yeah, I think if it's a knee injury, yeah. The only reason, and this is part of the reason why I kind of have the thought that I would sit the rest of the season if I were him. The only sort of injury that I think would give me pause on taking him is if he had like an Achilles injury or something like that. If he tears his Achilles, a guy that size, a guy that big, you always sort of worry about, is he going to be the same? Is he going to be the same athletically post injury?
Yeah.
And that's an Achilles, that's an 11, 12 month recovery. Like that's a whole year that we're talking about him being out. So if it's something like that, then yeah, I would probably have some pause about taking him. But other than that, I mean, I would, if he, you know, like certainly right now with the sprained knee, like I don't think there's any concern at all about him falling at all in the draft. And I think if it's a minor injury like that, or if it's just a knee or something like that, I would still, if I got the number one pick, he's the pick for me.
What would you do, callers out there? What's the number again? I don't have it in front of me, man.
651-646-8255.
Would you play, if you were Zion Williamson and you were the number one pick, all these things at stake, would you play or would you sit? You bring up a great point, Manny, because clearly an Achilles would be a different conversation.
Yes.
Achilles is a different deal. But I'll tell you what helps Zion Williamson, Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid doesn't play the first 2 years of his career. Suffered a back injury at Kansas that kept him out of the postseason there. Then there were other injuries. But how many guys in that draft, including the Cleveland Cavaliers who picked Andrew Wiggins, how many folks are going, we could have had that guy? I mean, Jabari Parker goes over him. Andrew Wiggins goes ahead of him. Clearly, he's the best guy in that draft. And, yeah, the Sixers had to wait 2 years for him. They had to wait 2 years before they got him. He was an all-star by his second season. And now he's clearly one of the best players in the league. So with a Zion, even in a crazy situation with a more serious injury, I still think there are a lot of folks, Manny, who would have looked at this young man and said, you know what? I will take the time to help him rebuild his body and his career. I want to hear what Mark and Hopkins has to say about this. Mark?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Love having this hour time slot listening to just Hoops talk, so it's good to hear. So I am glad that at least nationally I think people are starting to get it in terms of saying Zion Williamson should make his own decision and we got to live with it. So I'm glad that more people are jumping on that bandwagon. And a great point that was made on the Golic and Wingo show this morning from Michael Jr., I believe, was that if he does decide to sit out, let's refrain from the he's not that competitive type of guy where he wants to put it out all on the floor there. It's like, well, no, actually, his biggest dream's probably going to the NBA, so I think that competitive drive, like, that would be such a foolish conversational road to go down. But I think overall people are starting to finally get it in terms of the NCAA. And truthfully, I kind of hope that he does sit out just to send the bigger message of, okay, well, if this is going to happen from a guy like this, I think we're going to finally have to either start allowing kids to make money while they're in college, or like what the NBA has put out yesterday, they are moving forward with trying to lower the draft age to 18.
Yeah. Great call, Mark.
Great call, Mark.
Really good call. I think Mark makes a really good point.
Yeah.
How do you question the competitive drive of a young man who's reached this point? I mean, we're just – I'm going to tell you something I hate. I hate seeing my childhood heroes get on TV and say, back in my day, I would have never sat out a game. I played with no left hand in 97. You know what I mean? Like, wait, what are you talking about? Here's the problem I have with all these folks who are talking about how competitive they were and they would never sat out. You also weren't dealing in 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, $100 million sums, right?
Mm-hmm.
You weren't thinking about these kinds of things, right? You were in a position where you could play a lengthy NBA career, leave the game at 35, 36, and not have a bunch of money in the bank, because it wasn't like you were getting everyone had these big-time salaries. Remember, Michael Jordan only hits that $30 million, that crazy number that the Bulls gave him in the last 3 years of his career after he'd already won 3 NBA championships. I mean, the money wasn't the same. I also think the attitude 20, 30 years ago is what caused a lot of harm to these guys, because they wouldn't sit when they should have. They wouldn't take a break when maybe they should have. And now you've got guys who suffered certain injuries by trying to be tough,
mm-hmm.
by trying to be strong. And now you feel that on the back end of your career because you came back too fast. You tried to prove to everybody how strong you were, and fine, that looked good in year 5 of your career. But now you don't get year 11 and 12 because of that reason. We're just smarter today, Manny, in terms of how we take care of our bodies. Also, this is a dude who might have $100 million waiting on him the moment he leaves Duke. Who are you to tell that guy what he should and should not do as it relates to that, Manny?
Yeah, and you know a story that always – this whole topic always reminds me of the story that John Calipari told about who was the guard that he had at Memphis. Not Derrick Rose, obviously, but
Roberts.
DeJuan Wagner.
DeJuan Wagner.
Everybody thought that, you know, because he was, if I'm not mistaken, DeJuan Wagner was a one and done when he left Memphis and he went to the NBA. I think he played for the Cavs for a little bit. And everybody was trying to tell him, well, you know, you got to go back to school. You need to go back to school. And then Wagner ends up going into the NBA, and then he gets sick. Something happens where he has like an injury or something like that, or he gets sick or something, and he ends up having to, you know, he ends up not having the career that he wanted, but he got the money. You know what I mean? Because he went into the draft and he got his He got his draft pick money. And that's, I mean, that's a big thing. Now, what if he would have gone back to college for that second year and then gotten sick? He wouldn't have been drafted, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's one of those things that you always have to think about when these kids are in a position where they have to make a decision. I mean, it's their decision. It's their life decision. And, you know, it's I look at Zion and selfishly, do I want to keep seeing Zion Williamson play? Absolutely. Do I want to see him come back? Yes. I want to see him. I want to see Duke get to the Final Four because selfishly, the Final Four is here in Minneapolis this year. So,
Man, could you imagine?
Yeah. I want to see Zion Williamson come back and play and lead Duke to the Final Four because it would be great and fun to watch. Yeah. But I mean, I also think that he should make the decision that he feels is right for him. And I mean, who is anybody else? Even the older guys that you and I grew up watching and idolizing and enjoying watching play and things like that. Who are any of us to tell him exactly what he should be doing?
Yeah, you think Zion's a Juicy Lucy guy? He looks like he probably is.
Yeah, he might be.
I bet he. He might.
We'd have to warn him about biting into one of those things too fast, though, because it might just destroy his tongue.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man.
You got to be careful if you bite into that Juicy Lucy too fast, man. That cheese inside the burger might fry your tongue. You got to be careful with that.
That's gonna be somebody. You know, I'm sure there's somebody following him around by that time, making sure he only eats certain things. But to your point, all of our guys that we grew up with, I see a lot of these guys. When I'm on the road for ESPN, I see them doing jobs in front offices. I see them on TV. I see them, you know, coaching, assistant jobs. Now, granted, these guys love the game, and that's why they're still attached to it. But make no mistake, there are a bunch of these guys who are doing it because the money ran out a long time ago. There are a bunch of these guys who are doing some of these jobs because they didn't have access to the kind of cash that we're seeing today. So for me, for those guys, Manny, you had to keep pushing it because not getting that next year of your salary, that could be the difference between, you know, keeping your family in a good situation and going bankrupt. And here you have a young man who is one of the more remarkable individuals I've ever met, not just on the court, but in terms of who he is, very bright individual who is sitting here going, I got a chance to do something that really hasn't been done before. I have a chance to be the face of a major brand at 19, 20 years old. And somebody's going to give me millions and millions of dollars to be that person. Who is anybody else to tell me what I should do and how I should handle it? Because the reality, the only person to me that could have a conversation with Zion right now is LeBron James. Like the only person who's ever been in his atmosphere, if you will, in this situation, LeBron James. If you're not LeBron James, and you weren't here, or maybe a Michael Jordan, who obviously at a point in his career became this giant in the shoe world, in the merchandising world, you can't really say anything to Zion because there are no examples of this. There are examples of a lot of great players coming out of college. None of them had this waiting for them.
Yeah.
None of them had this spotlight and this attention, and none of them had been this sort of crossover star that Zion has made himself. So I'm with you, man. If this guy, and I'm up here at Syracuse now, maybe he plays Saturday, maybe he doesn't. If this guy comes out in the next couple of days, says, you know what, I'm shutting it down. I got to think about my career. Kudos to you, Zion.
Can't blame him.
And if he comes out and he's, can't blame it on. If he comes out and says, look, I came here to win a title with my guys, and I think that something we can still do, so I'm going to get out there and play. Kudos to you as well. But this guy's dealing in money that his grandkids will have access to, his great grandkids will have access to. And if you haven't been there at 18, 19 years old, and I know none of us have listening, you can't tell them what to do. We'll be back with more after this on scorenorth.com and Score North.
Hey, we're pinning our ears back. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf here on Score North. ScoreNorth.com, Myron on Hoops with Manny Fresh Hill. Manny, you are one of the brightest guys I know in this business, and I was thinking about this the other day. I
appreciate you saying that.
It's real, man. It's all real. And my girls and I've got three little girls. We watch Family Feud religiously.
Like, it is our nice. Okay.
It is our thing, man. Like, and my girls are getting better at it. You would be, if there were a Score North Family Feud team, you would be on it. Would be on it for sure.
I see. I thought you were going to ask me to put together like a Score North Family Feud.
Oh no, we need to put one together. Yeah. You're on it for sure.
Okay.
I got to tell you someone I'm worried about. Judd. I'm worried about Judd Billington. Let me tell you why, though. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
It's not because I doubt Judd's knowledge. It's because I know Steve Harvey would mess up a question like he always does, and Judd would never let him off the hook. And it would become a back and forth between Judd and Steve Harvey, and next thing you know, they say, Judd, you can't be a part of the show if you're going to argue with Steve Harvey about the way he asked the question. That's the only reason I wouldn't have Judd. Phil would be good. Mackie would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, Phil would be great. I think Collar would be really good.
Collar would be too good. Like, Collar would be the one in the huddle when we're trying to steal the money who would always have the right question, right answer, and we'd resent him at some point. Like, you want people who are smart, but you don't want people who embarrass you by how smart they are.
I feel like Collar would be like an ace at like fast money, like the fast money.
He would be great. Collar would be fast money.
He would be the second person for fast money.
Yes.
Collar would be, yeah.
Is Royce on the team? I'm putting Royce on the team. Just because I think you need that guy who's funny and, you know, that Steve can kind of interact with. I think Royce would be fun.
Well, yeah, Pat is full of, like, wittiness. So, Pat. Pat would be great. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, I think we got a good team. Collar doing fast money, I really trust that. You know, Courtney Cronin would be great at fast money, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She'd be great at that. I'm celebrating your intellect here because you've got this encyclopedic mind, and I believe that you can remind the people about an individual by the name of Ndudi Ebi.
Oh, yeah.
Does that name ring a bell?
Oh, yes, it does.
Does that name ring a bell, Manny? Tell the people about him, if you will.
Ndudi Ebi was, I believe, I might be wrong on the draft number, but he was, I think, the 26th pick in the 2003 NBA draft. The same draft.
You are too good, man.
The same draft. How are you as that LeBron good? James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and all of those guys.
How do you do that, man? He was the 26th pick.
Was it 26th?
In the 03 okay. NBA draft. He was. No, he was. You hit.
Yeah, okay.
You nailed right. it. You nailed it.
Yeah, he was. He was an interesting guy. He was a high schooler that I think somehow, like, he lived in Great Britain for a little while. Like, he was, like, born in Great Britain or something, but somehow he ended up playing high school basketball in Texas or something
it was
like
the whole
that.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ends up in Texas. He got drafted out of a school in Texas.
Yeah.
He had committed, I think, to Arizona, but then he made himself eligible for the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of a nightmare situation when you say that name to Timberwolves fans, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to remember what happened there in that draft.
Guys that the Wolves passed on by taking him.
Yeah, you don't want to have those conversations. I mean, Josh Howard was after him.
Mm-hmm.
Kendrick Perkins was after him. Leandro Barbosa was after him. There were some players. Steve Blake, who played a long time, was after him.
Mm-hmm.
Number of players were.
Kyle Korver was late in that draft.
Kyle Korver, Mo Williams was after
him. Who did eventually
him.
End up playing for the Wolves, as did Josh Howard.
Did play for the Wolves. Yep, Kyle Korver was after him. Number of players. I bring him up because the NBA has just sent a proposal to the players' union to reduce the draft eligibility age from 19 to 18. Now, we all knew this was coming. These Adam Silver hasn't made any secret that he wants the one-and-done era to end. The NCAA actually came out today and said we're all about, hey, changing the draft limit. I mean, it sounds like people want this thing to end. The NCAA seems to be on board. The NBA, Adam Silver, the Commission on College Basketball that Condoleezza Rice ran this last summer, it was a big part of their recommendations. Let's get rid of one and done. Now we're just waiting on the players' union to say, okay, yeah, let's do it. And if it happens, it probably won't happen before the 20 22 draft. There are a lot of folks who got a lot of fired up opinions, Manny, about this. And a lot of them are negative. There are a lot of folks who are saying, oh, no, you know, the Indy EBs. Again, we're going to pick guys like that. My argument against that is I feel like in 2003, guys like LeBron were so rare.
Mm-hmm.
They were so incredibly different that it wasn't like you could compare him to anyone. I mean, the Corleone Youngs and guys like that who were not drafted, or the Kwame Browns,
Jonathan Bender.
Those were the kind of raw guys who you were getting out of high school. Physically, they weren't ready. Mentally, they weren't ready. I covered the 2004 NBA draft for ESPN the magazine, and they had this little setup in the back where you came and did these interviews, and I'm sitting next to Josh Smith, Manny, who at the time was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And his suit, well, he was so skinny that this tailor suit they had for him, it was falling off of him, man.
It was too big?
Like, yeah, it looked like he was wearing a parachute. I mean, it was ridiculous. And here's this guy playing on his phone just like me, and he's 17. But I think in 2019, well, and what will eventually be 2022, Manny, I think we're dealing with a different kind of athlete that you might see coming out of high school. When I stand next to Zion, who might be another bad argument because he's so unique, he's just different. But even when I stand next to Cam Reddish, even when I stand next to an RJ Barrett, when I follow Trae Young around, and yes, Trae Young physically, you could go, okay, that guy's going to have to put on some weight. But when you saw how smart he was, when I saw, you know, Tyus Jones and guys like that and just the instincts that they had, you can see how high school to pro now would be a different situation, in my opinion, than it was 15 years ago when guys were drafting the Indy EBs of the world. I think this could actually be a process, man, and a change that helps everybody.
Yeah, and I feel like you would have smarter people that sort of get it now around a lot of these kids, or at least that's what I would hope, to be able to tell some of these kids if they're legitimately ready for the next level at 18 years old or not. You know what I mean? Like it seemed like back then there were just a lot of people surrounding, you know, the Jonathan Benders or the Indy EBs of the world and telling them and not really understanding that these guys are not ready for the NBA yet at 17, 18 years old. But I feel like you have smarter people around that will tell somebody, okay, all right, kid, listen, you're 18 and you're talented, but you might need to spend a year or two in college before you even think about jumping to the NBA because you're just not ready yet. Or, you know, or you could have a situation too, Myron, where the G League could become more of a situation for guys who are not ready yet for the NBA, but they get drafted and they end up playing in the G League for a year or two before they get called up to the NBA. I mean, they could turn this into, you know, a situation where it's kind of like baseball, where a lot of these guys can have an opportunity to make a living, and they don't necessarily have to go play at Duke or North Carolina or Kentucky or somebody like that for a year or so.
I what you just said is the big thing, right? Like what you just said about the G League is the biggest problem. The idea that you don't have something in between, a trustworthy, reliable minor league, where you can find whatever the happy medium is, where guys can be compensated, can develop, where guys who are drafted to the pros can come down and get a lot of work and improve and learn and grow. That's the biggest problem here, is that college basketball has essentially been the G League for the NBA. So if you're suddenly sending guys from college to the NBA or from high school to the NBA after 1 year of college, they're playing other young guys, whereas the G League could be an opportunity where you're playing some veterans, you know, you're playing some other elite young guys, and it really becomes a thing. Baseball is the most amazing sport to me because it's the hardest sport to actually climb the ladder in. If you're a pro in baseball, if you're in the major leagues, you got to be good. I mean, other than Miguel Sano, if you're in the major leagues, you have clearly, you know, gone through some hurdles at the lower levels to get to where you are today. NHL is set up like that. You don't just go to the NHL. I mean, you might be Sidney Crosby and do it, mm-hmm. but there are layers to that. The NFL, college football, that's a different deal because those guys are staying 3 years minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But the NBA is the only league where we talk about age, and it's not age to me, Manny. It's there's only one way to develop if you want to stay home, and that's going through college basketball, where it's the NBA with their billions of dollars. Why haven't they done more to invest in the G League as a viable tool? I look at some of these younger guys with the Timberwolves and go, you know what? They're playing well, but they're learning on the fly. Josh Okogie, I love what he's doing, and I love his energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, that's a guy who maybe in a different situation with a better team would be great in a stacked G League. Not the entire season, but just going back and forth. You're spending a week there, right? And you're just working on your three-point shooting, and now you're coming back up to play with the big boys. Like, that's to me how the G League should be used for young players. But to your point, that system isn't set up that way. So if you're a young player, you're kind of stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You go to college for a year, and then you go pro, and then you see what happens. And I blame the NBA for not building a better system for development of this young talent.
I 100% agree. And the other part of this too is if you're a G League team, and a lot of these teams now in the G League are directly affiliated with teams in the NBA. I mean, if you're a G League team and you're the Iowa Wolves, for example, and the Timberwolves have a draft pick that may not quite be ready for the NBA, but he was picked somewhere in the middle of the first round, and he was right out of high school. I mean, people will want to see this kid play, and they'll want to see this kid develop. And so people will show up to these games for the Iowa Wolves, and they'll want to see this kid play and develop. Now, depending on, he might only be there for a couple of months during that season, which is fine. But you know what? People get a chance to see him play. And people will want to see him play. So, I mean, I just think it would be the right route to go. I mean, that's just where I'm at.
Yeah, and it's going to happen, right? It's going to happen. You're going to have the age limit. It's going to be 18. The concern I have sometimes too, Manny, is you go, well, what if that kid makes the wrong decision? I don't think people understand how many 21-year-olds have made the wrong decision. Yeah. I've watched juniors in college make the wrong decision about turning pro. Sophomores make the wrong decision. And I don't know, Manny, if it really comes down to the wrong decision as much as it's guys just aren't ready. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times guys just aren't good enough to play in the NBA. And they can make that decision at 18. They can make that decision at 22. And for a lot of guys, it wouldn't change a thing.
You know,
are who they are.
I go back to that 2003 draft when Andy Eby got drafted by the Wolves. You remember who the Wolves drafted in the second round of that draft?
Remind me.
Rick Rickert. Remember Rick Rickert
was
at the Gophers? And he left the Gophers after his sophomore year because somebody had told him that he was going to be a first-round pick, and the Wolves ended up taking him late in the second round, and he ended up flaming out in the NBA. I don't think he ever appeared in an NBA game ever. So, I mean, and that was somebody who played college basketball for 2 years and left after his sophomore season. So it's not, I mean, people keep thinking, to your point, people keep thinking, well, it's these 18-year-olds, what if they make the wrong decision? There are guys in college who end up leaving college early after 2 or 3 years that, and it ends up being the wrong decision for them as well.
Same problem. A quick Rick Rickert story. So he played pro ball in Germany for a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And this just shows you how different overseas is compared to the NBA. His team had lost 4 games in a row, and on Friday when they get their checks, he opens up the envelope, all the guys do, and it says, "We'll pay you when you start winning again." So imagine being overseas.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened to Rick Rickert. But to your point, you're right. This is a guy who probably was never going to be ready to play in the NBA. And now, getting punched in the face by Kevin Garnett certainly wouldn't help it either. But, this was a guy who was probably never going to be ready to compete at that level. And I think that's the thing we miss. Maybe Zion is great at 19, 18. Maybe he's a bust. But I don't know that the age is the thing or the experience. Some guys are just going to be who they are. And once we embrace that so few people will ever get to the NBA and excel, to me it's easier to go, okay, let's allow the best high school players to come into the NBA hopefully the G League is there 3 years from now as an established development group, and let's give them a chance.
Yeah, 100% agree.
If you're the Timberwolves, you want to develop talent. And if you're the Timberwolves, and a lot of teams like them, you're going to have to build from the draft. Probably not going to get a big-time free agent to come aboard. You're going to have to be smart and build in the draft. And if you get the right high school kid, maybe it turns out as someone who can really, really help you out. What's the number again, Manny?
651-646-8255.
If you want to talk anything about the local hoop scene, call in. We'll be back on Score North after this.
You aren't into Minnesota sports. Talk to the Mitten. Score North. Minnesota sports. Anytime, anywhere. ScoreNorth.com.
Myron Metcalf back here on Score North and ScoreNorth.com. Man, do you have a wish list for the Timberwolves? I mean, post All-Star break?
Do you have a list of things?
Yeah, do you have a list of things that you want to see, like, that you would hope this team can do or things that happen? I'll tell you mine. I'll start with mine.
Okay.
It starts to me with a press release that simply says Ryan Saunders is our coach in 2019-2020. Okay. That's my first thing.
Okay.
Because I don't – this team has – and we've talked about this, Manny. This team has an administrative executive problem. What I mean by that is the way that you're going to maneuver this roster, and that to me is the bigger thing. Ryan Saunders can only be as good as what you give him. Mm-hmm. And there are a whole lot of decisions that have to be made. And I continue to think that Ryan Saunders in a full season at a minimum is something that we deserve to see after different moves are made this offseason. But maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong about a lot of things, Manny. Maybe this is just another one.
No, I'm with you. And I will say this, too. Not only do I think we need to see a full season for Ryan Saunders, but we need to see a full roster. I mean, when you look at the way what's happened with this team since he took over on January 8th, I believe it was, and they were 19-21 at the time when they beat the Lakers that Sunday night and then fired Tibbs. And then... so now they're 27-30, I'm sorry, and they got the Knicks tonight at Madison Square Garden, who have not won a home game since December 1st, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
Ooh, ouch.
Their last home win was against the Milwaukee Bucks, the team with the best record in the NBA, though. Imagine that.
Amazing how that works, right?
Yeah. So the Wolves are playing the Knicks tonight. They're 27-30, so they're 8-9 since Ryan Saunders took over, and they've... and largely in those 17 games, Myron, they've been dealing with a ton of injuries. They really have not had a full roster. And so it sounds like they're getting very close to being at full strength again. And it sounds like Tyus Jones is going to be back here very soon. Robert Covington is close to returning. They need those guys. And I want to see what Ryan Saunders can do with a full deck of cards. And so I think depending on what we see here over these last 25 games, I think can really show us something about Ryan Saunders, and I think they'll do fairly well.
I'm anxious to see it. Right? What would be your top wish list item for this team? The thing you want to see here in the final stretch of the season?
Well, I can give you one wish list thing after the season that I would like to see. It's them.
Yeah, that counts.
Yeah, it's them winning the number one overall pick and drafting Zion Williamson.
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine?
I mean, if they get really any of those Duke guys, I would be happy with that. Because I think any of those guys could help. I mean, I think R.J. Barrett would be terrific here. But I think that would be at the top of everybody's wish list. I would say... more than anything, these last 25 games, I just want to see them play well. I'm not so much concerned about winning and losing. I mean, I think they still have the desire to make the playoffs, and they're a few games back. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs because they have such a tough schedule here the last 25 games. They have one of the toughest schedules remaining in the NBA. So I don't think playoffs is very realistic. But more than anything, record aside, I just want to see them play well and show some improvement. And I think if that happens, then I think we have a better idea of what kind of coach Ryan Saunders is. And if they do play well, I think you're looking at a real opportunity for him to be the full-time head coach.
To me, it would make a lot of sense. But like you said, he's got to have a full roster.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing his team play well, I think that's what everybody wants. But you said something earlier about if you can get a top three pick in a draft like this, yes. And not even to me, R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson, those are the guys that everybody wants. Nasir Little at North Carolina is a guy who NBA scouts love him. But I think there are some sleepers in this draft. I mean, there are guys like Grant Williams at Tennessee, your guy, man, who I feel like Grant Williams in the small ball era with his versatility could be a very good player in the right system.
Mm-hmm.
He's the perfect San Antonio Spur.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the perfect guy to play with a team like that. Really smart, really gifted. I mean, he's the kind of guy that could really help the right team. Isn't going to overwhelm you with his athleticism. But, wow. How about this, Manny? What if a guy like Ja Morant of Murray State, the kid who's averaging 25 and 10
very intrigued
right now at Murray State,
6'3",
man.
Yes.
Explosive. I mean, that could be a guy who comes in and changes everything for your franchise with his versatility. Now, the problem with a Ja Morant is he's frail. He's small.
Mm-hmm.
He's thin.
Gonna need to bulk up
a little bit. But man, is he explosive.
And I'll tell you
what,
the Wolves are gonna have some question marks at that position going into the summer of 2019. I mean, they've got four guys on the roster right now who you're not entirely sure what their role is, what this team is going to be going forward, or if they're even going to be on the team at all. I mean, Tyus Jones is going to be a restricted free agent. You got Jared Bayless with an expiring $8 million contract. You've got Jeff Teague, who has a player option for $19 million that I'm starting to think he's not going to take, right? I'm starting to think he will take that, unless he feels like he can get a 3-year deal with a little bit more long-term security from somebody. I tend to think that Jeff Teague's going to take that player option for $19 million because he's not going to get $19 million a year on the
open. No, he's not getting $19 million.
No.
I wonder if he gets a longer deal, like you said, and then Derrick Rose.
And then you got Derrick Rose, too. So you've got four guys that are essentially point guards for your team. Now, you know, Rose can play, you know, off the ball a little bit more, you know, as he's been used this year. But, you know, for the most part, he's a point guard. You got four point guards that you don't even know if any of them are going to be on the roster next season. So point guard might be a situation. That might be a spot that they have to look at. And like I told you before, I'm intrigued by Ja Morant, man. I like what I've seen from him so far.
He's explosive. He's exciting.
He's quick.
He would bring a lot, very quick. He'd bring a lot of energy to this team. But the problem with this draft, and I've talked to NBA scouts and NBA folks about this, yeah, you've got Zion, you've got R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish at Duke, Ja Morant, Murray State. You've got guys like Nasir Little. But after that, you know,
it's a big drop off.
Take your dice. Yeah, take your dice and roll them, man, and let's see what happens, because there are not many sure things. I mean, a guy like Darius Garland, who's going to be a top 10 pick at Vandy, this guy's coming off a season-ending knee injury. Mm. You know, what will he be? Jackson Hayes at Texas is a 7-footer who I like, but he's so raw. Kelton Johnson at Kentucky could be a really good player, but he also could just be kind of ordinary. You know, Bol Bol. Now, he's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
7'2", kid out of Oregon, but he's coming off a major injury. I mean, is he the kind of guy that you can build a team around, build your draft around? I mean, I have a lot of questions there. I just think this is one of those drafts where you're either top five or, you know, you better hope for the best, because there are no guarantees. I don't know if there are any guarantees in the top five, Manny. You know, we're trying to project what Zion will or won't be. I don't know what he'll be. You know, people say, oh, Charles Barkley. Well, Charles Barkley was one of the 50 greatest players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Barkley is a Hall of Famer, right? So I don't know who to compare him to. I know he's intriguing. R.J. Barrett is a really polished player. I don't know what he'll become at the next level. So if you have the top five, you've got a good chance of getting a reliable player, Manny. But outside of that, if you're the Timberwolves and you're picking at 9 or 10, or good luck, because there are no guarantees to me in this draft, and the most intriguing prospects by far in those top four or five picks, man. And that's going to be when you talk about GMs.
Yeah.
That ain't a Ryan Saunders thing. Yeah, he'll be in on the decisions, but that is whoever your GM is. Can you look in this draft and can you find that guy who maybe other people are like, yeah, he's okay, but I don't know if he's that good. Can you find that dude who's going to exceed his draft position, exceed expectations, and turn him into a rotation player that can contribute with the Minnesota Timberwolves?
And I've said this time and time again with when you look at the salary situation, the salary cap situation with this team going forward, it is vital that they start. Yeah, because they're not going to be able to go out in free agency and sign anybody. And even if they had a ton of cap space, this is not the most desirable destination. Like, let's keep it real here. This is not the most desirable destination for free agents. Now, you can get some guys, maybe. I mean, Taj Gibson was willing to sign here. Now, part of that had to do with, you know, the Tom Thibodeau thing. But you can get some guys to sign here, but you're not always going to be able to just land the top name free agents. And on top of that, right now, they're not in a financial situation to be able to do that anyway. So now these next 3 years are going to be very vital for this team to draft well and make very savvy decisions in the trade market and things like that. Because if they don't draft well, 3 years from now, we're going to be looking at and wondering what Karl Anthony Towns is thinking. Does he still want to be around? And that's going to be an important thing for them to look at going forward.
Because Karl's going to keep going back to these All-Star games and, you know, You're having sushi with Jan and all these other guys, man. And you having these conversations. You don't want him showing up, man, and he's thinking twice about where he is, you know, because that's the real threat. And we talked about this last week. That's the real threat, to your point. But can you find a Giannis? You know, obviously there's you're not going to find a Giannis. But can you be the guy who goes, you know what, in the EB at 26 – this guy is not going to last. But a Leandro Barbosa, he might turn into a pretty good player in the right system. A Josh Howard, that guy has a lot of tools that you might want. Can you find that dude? That's, to me, is going to be the thing. Because I feel like in this draft especially, I mean, if you go beyond the top five, the difference between number 9 and number 10, number 10 could be a future all-star. Number 9 could be a guy who's out of the league in 3 years. Like, that's, to me, how up and down this draft is. This is going to be the G League draft because most of these first round picks are going back to the G League, and we'll see who comes out at the end of it. But a lot of these kids are not going to be ready to play right away. I see them every day. There are not many guarantees in this particular draft, Manny. And that's why, like you said, you've got to hit it. You've got to figure out, okay, is a Grant Williams? Yeah, Grant Williams, who's projected at right now, like number 23, is that a guy who might be one of the top 10 players in this draft when it's all said and done? If so, I need you to pick him. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand that going into this draft. PJ Washington at Kentucky, who looks like an All-American right now, who quietly is making 45% of his threes in SEC play. Is that the kind of guy that you could get at 14, 15, and he could be sort of that dynamic presence that helps your team out right away? There are a lot of questions in this draft. I'm not smart enough to answer them, Manny, but I know the Timberwolves better have somebody who is because it's going to be one of those drafts. You can't miss.
You cannot miss.
And there are a lot of ways, man, to miss in a draft like this, clearly.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And I think when you look at this draft, there's going to be somebody, and I don't know who the hell it's going to be, but there will be somebody that gets taken somewhere between like 15 and 30, somewhere outside of the lottery, that we're going to look at and say, man, if they would have just taken that guy, if so-and-so would have just taken that guy instead of this guy that was taken at 12 who ended up flaming out. And you know what I mean? I go back to 2013 where the Wolves had the 9th pick and they traded it to Utah for the 14th and 21st picks of that draft. And they took Shabazz Muhammad at number 14 in that draft. And then, you know who went one pick after him?
Who was that?
A guy who might be an MVP candidate this year who's playing for the Milwaukee Bucks right now.
Oh, that is Giannis.
Giannis went 15th.
It's to Giannis.
One pick after Shabazz.
Oh.
So Those are the kind of things the Wolves have to avoid things like that here going forward. So
it's that kind of drive, my man. Well, as always, man, Manny Hill, fun on Fridays. Join us again next week. I'm Myron Metcalf. Myron on Hoops, back again next week.